May God's grace, His peace, His abundant, rich mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the coming one. Amen. The text for our sermon is the Gospel, John 1, the ministry of John the Baptist, who prepares the way. Please pray with me. Lord God, your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. Ever cause that mighty sword to penetrate our minds, our hearts, for the benefit of repentance and faith and great joy this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you think about it, this is the time of the year that we think of some strange, odd, unique characters. Santa Claus, big guy in a red suit and a white beard who comes down your chimney. Think of that's kind of strange, isn't it? And then the elves are kind of odd little creatures that help him. We think of a reindeer with a red nose that flies the sleigh behind him in the sky. Kind of strange. We also think of the snowman who has the magic hat on his head and he comes to life. Frosty. Then we think of the abominable snowman that we're all terrified of. And then there's the Scrooge, and there's Grinch, and there's the little drummer boy, and the Nutcracker. All kind of strange, goofy, odd, unique characters. And in the church during Advent, we think of another kind of odd character. His name being John the Baptist. Isn't he kind of odd, strange, unique? And yet, what I'm going to talk about today is what John 1 says about him. And the first thing said about John the Baptist, as odd as he is that he is a witness. He came, three times it says this, he came as a witness to bear witness about the light. That light of Christ is Christ, of course, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. Our topic today is John the Baptist, the witness. You know, witnessing is a pretty hot topic in the church these days. We all want to be a good, effective witness for our Lord. Evangelizing, witnessing, we talk about that quite a bit. It's very important. How can I be a good, effective witness? Well, John the Baptist in the church here in the New Testament leads the way. He's the first witness. He is the model witness. May we, in a way, be like John the Baptist if we want to be a good witness. John does three things as a witness. He denies, he cries, and he dies. You want to be a good witness? Do the same. Deny, cry, and die. First, John the Baptist denies himself. He doesn't think of himself, talk about himself, focus on himself. He is a model of self-denial, one who denies himself, and we see that in his conversation with the Jews who come to visit him. John's out in the wilderness baptizing, preaching, and so the Levites and priests come to him from the Pharisees, and notice the conversation. Who are you? He confessed, I'm not the Christ. What then? Are you Elijah? I am not. Are you the prophet? No. The man doesn't have a whole lot to say about himself. I'm not the Christ. I am not. No. The answers become more harsh, more stern, shorter. The message being, Levites, Jews, Pharisees, people of First Lutheran, don't focus on me. Don't think about me. Don't put the spotlight on me. Don't give me attention. It's not about me. It's about the one greater than I. The one whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. It's the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord who is to come. The Lamb who will take away the sins of the world. Focus on him. Even by his conversation, he denies himself. Doesn't talk about himself. You know, there are reasons why we don't speak of Jesus a lot in our lives. At least some of us, we don't talk a lot about him to our friends and neighbors. And fear is a reason. We're afraid to. Or we don't know what to say. It's awkward. But I give you another reason. Another reason why we don't talk a lot about Jesus is that we talk too much about ourselves. We're worried too much about ourselves. We talk about our job. We talk about our kids' sports. These aren't bad things to talk about, mind you, but they consume us. My job, my life, my kids, money. It's very boring. When you talk about yourself all the time, trust me, it gets to be very, very boring. And how does Jesus ever work his way into the message? The Christian doesn't talk about I so much, he talks about the I am, that being God. And John, of course, also by his lifestyle models self-denial, doesn't he? What did John wear? Camel's hair. What did he eat? Locusts and wild honey. Where did he live? Out in the wilderness. I mean, he is a model of self-denial. I mean, what a great example for this day and age where we're so greedy, so materialistic. Give me more, give me more. I got to have all the nice things. And here John is eating locusts and wild honey. Who's going to have locusts and wild honey for lunch today? Anybody wearing camel's hair today? John doesn't worry about food because the Word of God is his food. Doesn't worry about clothing because he's clothed in the righteousness of the Messiah who will die for his sins. That's what consumes John the Baptist. He denies himself. How can we be a good, effective witness to the world when we're as greedy as the world? When we want as many things as the world does? When we're as materialistic as the world? It's a very poor witness being so rich and wanting so much. The world says, well, isn't Jesus important to you? I thought you had Jesus. Isn't he enough? Why do you always want the stuff, the same stuff I want? You know, fellas, if you break down and buy your wife jewelry for Christmas and you get her diamond earrings, a diamond necklace, a diamond bracelet. Someone don't let my wife hear these words right now. It's just an illustration. You buy all these wonderful diamonds and you give it to your wife at Christmas. And she opens the gift and says, well, it's really nice. Okay, what else did you get me? What else did I get you? Diamonds aren't enough? You want more? What's wrong? Now, I wonder if the world thinks that of Christians. Jesus, your Jesus isn't enough for you? You always need something more? You're greedy just like I am? Why should I follow your Jesus? If you're discontent like me, how's he going to make me content? A witness denies himself. That's John the Baptist. A witness, secondly, cries. You deny and you cry. Finally, John says something about himself. What do you say about yourself, John? Give us something. I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. A witness denies, a witness cries. Now, crying here doesn't mean that John shed tears out in the desert. It doesn't mean he wept, although he may have done some of that. We don't know. But crying here has the idea of this, that with great compassion for lost people, with great love in his heart for lost people, he pleads, he urges, he cries, repent, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. The Savior is coming, the Lamb who will take away the sins of the world. Believe in the coming Jesus. Believe in the coming Christ, the Messiah. Believe, repent, be baptized. He pleads, he urges, constantly is the idea here. Not one time. John's not out there one day preaching, then he goes back. But it's continuous. He constantly pleads and urges with the lost people. Repent and be baptized. Believe in the Messiah and be saved. You know, sometimes we invite a person to church one time, they don't come, so we give up. Or we speak of Christ one time and the person doesn't respond real well, we give up, okay, I try. The witness continues to plead and urge and cry and pray and do it over and over and over again. The love of God compels us. We know the love of God. How can we not love the world? We know the forgiveness of God in Christ. We're forgiven of our sins. We rejoice. How can we not share that with others? We have such joy in our hearts and peace in our hearts. The love of God compels us. We know Jesus. We must talk about Jesus. We're consumed with Jesus. He's everything to us. And it shows. I was in Weigel's the other day, checking out, had my coffee, and the nice cashier gal there said, well, would you like some eggnog? We have really good eggnog here at Weigel's during the season. And eggnog is the one fattening thing at Christmas that I really don't like that much. So I got to stick on my diet and stay away from eggnog this Christmas season. But it's the, you know, so I said, no, ma'am, I don't like eggnog. She didn't give up. Well, it's really good. I've tried it. You don't like eggnog? You need to try it. Come on, let me go back and get you some eggnog. I'm like, no, I don't like eggnog. No, really, you should try it. It's really good. I don't like eggnog. But I almost bought eggnog because of her persistence. Because she loved eggnog, and maybe it's good. I don't know. I like everything else that's fattening. Maybe I like eggnog too. So just her mere persistence, her passion for eggnog, I almost bought the stuff. And that's just eggnog. What about eternal life in Jesus? Do people see the love that we have for our Lord and the passion we have for Him because of His passion on the cross? He fills us, and we can't help but tell others and plead with others and cry to others, believe in this Jesus. He died for your sins. He rose again for you. He loves you. He forgives you. He gives you heaven. Repent and be baptized. Heard on the news where we have to add one more second to the year 2008. So men, before you kiss your wife on the New Year's, got to wait one more second. 2008 has one more second to it. Timekeepers officially say that, Mr. Hines. Not me. Your timekeepers. And I heard that and I thought to myself, who cares? One more second to 2008, what's it matter? Well, every second counts. Every second, hundreds if not thousands of people die without Jesus. And so in this cry, there's urgency. May I make use of every second, every minute, every hour to show my love for my Savior and show my love to others and proclaim Him in all that I say and do. A witness denies, a witness cries, and finally a witness dies. We all know what happens to John the Baptist, don't we? It is not really a glorious end, although really it is because he goes to heaven, but not on this earth. John the Baptist, because of his preaching, he is arrested, put in prison, and what happens to John the Baptist? Does he get out? He gets beheaded. He dies. We often say that Stephen is the first martyr of the New Testament. Not really accurate. I suggest John the Baptist is the first martyr of the New Testament. He dies for his Savior. How sad it would be if we would read in the Scriptures where John apologized for his preaching, he denied the Messiah, and they let him out of prison. What a horrible witness he would be because he didn't persevere. He wouldn't die for the faith. He gave it up. What a bad witness he would be. John would remind us that witnessing to our Lord involves indeed speaking of Jesus. It involves self-denial. It involves acts of love and kindness. It's a whole life in the end. Everything we say and do, wherever we go, is a witness. But perhaps our greatest witness for Christ is when we suffer everything for Him. We take up our cross and follow Him. We suffer every persecution for Him who died for me. We take every insult, every ridicule. We take it all for the sake of Jesus. We die for Him. And isn't that the greatest witness? The Greek word for witness, you know what it is? It's the word martyr. Martus, martyr. The martyr, the one who dies, is the witness. They're combined. You are a true witness if you're willing to die for your Lord. And you die in the faith and persevere through all things because of this. When we suffer, when we really suffer and things are hard, that's when people see what we're made of. People see what you're made of, not when things are easy in your life. They see what you're made of when you suffer. And if you're made of Jesus, meaning He dwells in you, if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you have faith, it shows that much more to the world. And they're that much more impressed because you suffer for it. You'll die for it. Think of it this way, a final illustration. We're kind of like wrapping paper. When do people really pay attention to a gift? When it's in the wrapping paper or when the wrapping paper is being torn away? When do people pop up and really look at the gift? I suggest when the wrapping paper is being torn away. That's when you look. When it's wrapped up, okay, it's there, fine. Don't know what's inside, but we'll get to it later. But when you rip away the wrapping paper, you rip it away, you tear it away, then all eyes are on the gift. What's there? And you see, when you suffer, God is pulling away you. Christ dwells in us. He's the gift in us. We're the wrapping paper. And when we suffer, he pulls away us. No longer is the attention on us. We're suffering. We're dying. He's stripping us away of ourselves, our idols, all that we think that we are. He pulls that away, and the true gift, the true treasure in us may show to people. And if Christ dwells there, it shows. Think in your own life of all the people that died having faith and what an example they are to you. They died with the faith. Not necessarily they were killed for believing, but they died in the faith. What an example they leave for us. So, you want to be a good witness for your Lord? We all do as the baptized. A good witness denies, cries, and dies in faith in his Lord. May the Lord mold us to all be good, effective witnesses in all we say and do this season, every season, like the Baptist. Amen. We rise and confess our faith.